Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 at 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a great service department that backs it all up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Domingo Germán threw a perfect game last night, and everybody elected to fist pump him. They were afraid to give him a high five because their hand might stick to his.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I was stunned when that was the first thing I saw this morning.
It's your guy.
Absolutely stunned. It was like the apocalypse last night because guess what? Giancarlo Stanton had a home run and three RBIs.
Oh, my almighty!
I will say this. A streak is about to be broken. Do you know what streak that is?
That could be many different streaks.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Do you follow your own team? I mean, God, you don't even follow your own team. I don't get it. I think the one thing you knew something about was the Yankees. Now, like, now we've run into this. It's a problem. All right, I'll have to just say it out loud. This is the fourth perfect game in Yankee history.
Oh,
so far,
yeah.
So good?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you know where I'm going now, right?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I can't believe it. No, you don't know where I'm going, do you? None. Zero.
I know this was the fourth perfect game in Yankee history. It's the 24th.
This is your team. I mean, I'm not asking you about the history of the Colorado Rockies, where Jimenez has the only no-hitter ever. Now, I'm not a big Rockies fan, but I mean, I know that. I mean, why don't you know that? Because whatever. Okay. Every time that the Yankees have had a perfect game, Don Larson, David Wells, David Cohn, the Yankees have won the World Series.
Oh, my almighty!
This year, the streak gets broken because they won't make the World Series.
If I had to put a bet on it, I would say that probably is correct.
And now you're talking about betting on a day they suspended people. What are you doing?
At least I know the rules because I saw them written down, unlike someone on the Titans.
Well, again, just... Okay. Let me go back on the Titan thing. Okay, you got to be careful about this stuff. Right? Just because they say it's in the facility, he could have been in the parking lot and he's on the Wi-Fi. You don't know. Right? That's why I stay away from such things. If I don't know, I don't really want to say. He could have been in the parking lot. And it turns out he's on the Wi-Fi. Okay. But that doesn't fit your personal narrative of destruction. We're fortunate it's the 4th of July. You want to know why?
Because this was it's our Independence Day.
No, because it's about explosions, and your rants are all explosions.
Yes. But again, as I said yesterday, when it comes to this guy, that's Nicholas Petit Freer, or whatever I'm not sure how you pronounce his name.
Top recruit, went to Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, left probably is going to be their starting right tackle.
Yeah, he's going to be, six games, right?
Yes. That's a big loss for the Titans. That's probably the most significant one of the ones we've seen so far. But even so, okay, if you're on the Wi-Fi and you're outside the building, like you're in your car or something.
I'm saying that is a possibility. Right. I didn't say that's where he was.
Right, but if you're in that situation, let's say, for instance, if he was in that situation, then all you got to do is turn off your Wi-Fi and go on your data. Then you won't be on it.
You don't think about that. Okay? They just say you can't be in the facility. All right? Now, do you think when you walk outside of WKOK that you're going to go to your data because you're off the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation Wi-Fi? Do you think that? Come on, put yourself in their shoes. What do you do? Do you change the data? I'm
leaving this place. I'm changing.
Well, for me, I just don't bet, period, but...
I understand that's not what I'm saying you're doing, but do you think about it when you go on your phone?
No, I don't. That's a fair point.
Of course not. Nobody does. Nobody does. I'm not here to defend the dude. I'm just saying that, hey, you know, let's think about what the circumstances could be. Instead of we can't be like Twitter, man, where everything's like, I know everything. I'm on Twitter. And maybe you just ignored the rule. That's another distinct possibility. May have just flat out ignored it and made the bet. But it's not. There are three players. Let's see. I think three are suspended indefinitely. Is that correct?
Yes. Nicholas from the Titans is the only one that's gotten the six-game suspension. Everybody else has a year long. Two of them on the Colts.
Right, but nothing's, no offense to these guys, nothing earth-shattering, right? I mean, there's nothing out there like, who? He got suspended, right? I don't understand why you take a chance on something like these players did, when they are fighting their guts out to make the team every year, and that's where they are. I mean, Rodgers is fighting to make the team every year. Barry is fighting to make the team every year. So what are you taking a chance on this for? That's the part that gets me. Rodgers' wagers included a $1,000 prop bet on the over-under rushing yards of a Colts running back. I'm going to guess it was Jonathan Taylor. Rodgers ended up getting waived. Barry ended up getting waived, so they're done. I mean, nobody's going to... I mean, I think it's a long shot. Either one of them gets picked up in the league. Free agent defensive lineman Demetrius Taylor. I mean, nobody's going to take a flyer on him. He's done. So, I mean, none of these guys are like, oh, my goodness, can you believe it? Oh, I can't wait to get him back. Now, Petit Frere... He was betting on non-NFL sports, which he is allowed to do, but they say he did it while in the Titans facility. And I'll be honest with you. I think that's a bunch of hogwash. That part of the rule is hogwash.
I do agree with that.
Right? I mean, come on. The NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, you are allowed to bet on any other sport, and you can sit there in the locker room or the clubhouse and do it if you want. They have no restriction on where you do it. Road trip, doesn't matter if you're on the road trip. As long as you are not betting, as long as you're a baseball player and not betting on MLB, as long as you're a hockey player not betting on the NHL, and if you are a basketball player, you can't bet on any of the NBA-associated properties. Can't bet on the WNBA, NBA Africa, G League, NBA. If it's associated with the NBA, you can't do it. The only one that has this facility restriction is the NFL, and that makes no sense. The most important element to me is that you're not betting on the league. That's the only part. Okay, you're just trying to keep the integrity of the game. Okay, you're just trying to keep the integrity of the game. It's amazing how in England they've had this for a long time and they don't have problems with it. They don't have problems with it. And that's good. They don't have problems with it. We'll talk more about the NFL with Matt Lombardo coming up at 4:06 today. And we'll delve into this a bit. But it is, it's posted over every building. It's right there. It's talked to. This is not a communication issue. This is, I'm not willing to listen issue, or I'm addicted to doing it and I'm going to do it anyway issue. Bing. That's what I find amazing about all this. I find it, it's everywhere. And why do you want to risk it? That's what gets me. Why do you want to risk it? Now, for all of you out there, be like Matt, right? Immediately go to your data the second you leave your building. That's what you do, right? No, you don't do that.
I haven't, but I think I am going to start doing that, so I practice what I preach.
Oh, well, if you practice what you preach, I mean, you're going to, I mean, man, you're going to be the no fun guy.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Ladies and gentlemen, the no fun guy. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing and can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
So you're not into people who break the rules or anything like that, right?
Not usually, no.
Until they throw a perfect game. Okay, there we go.
Hey, I was just stunned. I still think the guy's a dope, but I'm happy for him that he at least threw the perfect game, and he did it for his uncle, I guess, because his uncle passed away, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Or a couple days ago, maybe it was. So, I'm happy in that aspect of it. But yeah, I still think he stinks.
Well, it's funny because the Mariners game? What, he give up like 10 runs or something crazy?
Yes, he was quite awful.
And this happens all. It seems like this happens all the time, where somebody goes out and they do something like this, and hadn't been pitching well. I mean, Don Larson, when he threw the perfect game in 1956, did not have a good season. He was like, eh. They're kind of like, okay, look, we need somebody today. Take the ball. Okay. So he did. He threw a perfect game. This happens a lot. Or suddenly out of nowhere, like, wow, how did this ever happen? Now, it's against the A's, so we have put in an inquiry to Major League Baseball to see if that counts.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Just asking.
No, that's valid.
I just want to know.
But that's the other reason I appreciate this, is because this is all about the beauty of baseball, where, yes, if you stink it up your either a whole season or your last couple of starts, as this case with Domingo Germán, and then all of a sudden the stars align, he pitches the game of his life, and he throws a perfect game. So I appreciate that, too, as far as the baseball aspect of it.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time in our broadcast. Like, there'll be a game where, like, it does nothing goes right. You make four errors, you lose 10-2. And, you know, I always say in the post-game show, well, tomorrow's another day. It's just baseball. I said tomorrow's game could be a 2-1 win and flawless. There's just 162 of these dang things. And when you have that many games, that is... you're going to have nights where it's just you flat out don't have it, and you're going to have nights where, wow, you know, something like that happens. Very interesting. So, good for him. He throws a perfect game. It counts as one win. I know the Yankee fans were kind of hoping it counted for 12, but it's only one. Pirates lead the Padres 5-4 top of the eighth. Rangers, Tigers do 2-1-4. Guardians lead the Royals 2-0 bottom of the fifth. And let's see, where is your team right now? They're still in third place, right?
Yeah.
44-36, 8 games over. You're 9.5 games back. Right. And the amazing part, that game was on the road. And that's what this, it says here, it's your 7th road game of the year. Wow. And they sent you to Oakland. 7 road games, not a lot of road games.
That is the second trip out to Oakland, though. Just throwing that out
right
there.
Right now you'd be in the... It's Oakland.
I know. I'm just talking about in terms of travel.
We've been on the road. Do we ever go to Tampa? You know, how about the Angels? Something? No.
And they go to St. Louis next.
That's right. Oh, good. Go, Ollie, go. The Yankees are the number 2 wild card right now. Toronto's 3. Baltimore's easily number 1. And Houston's a half game back in the wild card, as are the Angels. So they are. Miami, Giants, Dodgers. The Phillies are 2 back of the Dodgers. Now, have the Phillies won like 17 of their last 22 or something crazy like that? I think they have, right?
Their last 8 in a row on the road.
See what happens when you go on the road. Good things can happen, Matt.
Obviously, Domingo Germán threw a perfect game on the same night that Giancarlo Stanton hit a home run and 3 RBIs.
Your team should not be afraid to go on the road. I mean, it's like, it's stunning. NCAA updates gambling violation rules. We'll tell you about that in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. I have, you know, when they were all fist bumping Herman at the end and refused to shake his hand, I mean, it just reminded me of Jose Altuve at home plate.
Totally concur. And seeing his stupid chest all ripped out from the jersey.
Yeah, but you know, wait a minute. What are you critical of him for? The other guy that's got rosin all over his arms.
Oh, yeah. I probably would have. I want to make sure I fist pumped him, too. I wouldn't want my hand touching his hand. Absolutely. They're both dopes. But I still appreciate what happened last night.
So if Mark or Luke do something, are you going to call them a dope?
No, but they will know that I disapprove of whatever they did.
I think they're sensing it now just listening to the show. NCAA student athletes. Let's get to this. Now, we know that the rules are exponentially stricter for college athletes than they are for pro athletes when it comes to gambling. If you gamble on any sport that is sponsored by the NCAA, so in other words, you are sitting there, you are a women's basketball player, and you want to place a bet on the Olympic rowing competition in Paris, you can't do it. Why? Because rowing is a sponsored NCAA sport. Okay? So the Division I Legislative Committee yesterday ratified guidelines for reinstating student athletes who violate the sports betting rules. Right? Now, in the past, said athlete, I'm betting on rowing in the Paris Olympics, even though I'm a women's basketball player. Well, it meant an automatic loss of a season of eligibility. Now, the new guidelines are a bit more nuanced. So here are the new guidelines. Student athletes found to have engaged in activities to influence the outcome of games that they are involved with or provided information to individuals involved in betting will face a potential permanent loss of collegiate eligibility. The guideline applies to student athletes who bet on their own games or on other sports at their school. Okay. Two, student athletes who bet on their own sport but not involving their school are subject to a potential loss of 50% of one season. So I'm sitting there, right, and as a basketball player, I'm playing at Penn State, and I decide to put a wager on the Cal-Stanford basketball game, and they find out I could lose half my season. For all other wagering-related violations, the cumulative dollar value of the wagers will be taken into consideration when determining the punishment. So bets totaling $201 to $500, for example, could result in the loss of 10% of your eligibility for the season. Right? You'd also have to go through a rules education and a prevention education class. Bets totaling more than $800 could result in a loss of 30% of the season eligibility, plus you'd have to go through the rules and prevention education program. So they're trying to, quote, modernize the penalties for college athletes. And Alex Ricker Gilbert, who's the athletic director at Jacksonville, and he's the chair of the legislative committee, said that while sports wagering by college athletes is still a concern, particularly as we remain committed to preserving the integrity of competition of college sports, consideration of mitigating circumstances come into play. Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. And that's what they've decided to do here. You already have 38 states, plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, that have sports betting legislation. This has been over 5 years, so it's gone about the way I thought it would, that it would go along this fast. If, you know, you've listened to the show enough, and you know I've talked about this before the New Jersey bill. I talked about the New Jersey bill years before it actually went to the Supreme Court. I said, this is the one that's going to open the door for this. Now, as for wagering, okay, first of all, I want to quickly get into the part about information about other sports. That was in number one. Look, these athletes are around each other all the time. They talk. Hey, by the way, you know, we'll use a guy that's now in the pros with the Atlanta Hawks. By the way, Seth Lundy's hurt. He's not going to be able to play on Saturday. Really? Yeah, he got hurt here at practice today, blah, 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 blah. You know, and this is a member of the basketball team talking to a member of the lacrosse team. Say said lacrosse player now goes out, puts a wager on the game. Hey, Penn State's a 4-point favorite. He knows Lundy's not playing, but Penn State doesn't reveal the injury. All right. And he makes the wager, boom, and goes from there. That's giving up inside information. Right? Now, did the player for basketball think he was deliberately giving up inside information? No, he was just doing it in casual conversation. Oh, you won't believe what happened. Lundy got hurt today. You know. Now, I realize that they want college football in particular, college football and men's basketball in particular, they want to put out, like the NFL does, injury reports. You, of course, desperately want injury reports.
Yes. I like the transparency. Just for watching the game as a fan, nothing to do with betting. Absolutely nothing to do with betting on my end. I just want to know going into the game who's in, who's out.
Okay. I understand the curiosity of it. But that will be the next pressure point that will happen. The next pressure point. There's always pressure points, and the media is great with pressure points. That'll be the next pressure point. Where they're going to say, like the NFL, you need to put out injury reports. But what if it is upper body, lower body, like the NHL?
As frustrating as it is, it's at least something. But I hate the way the NHL does their injury reports. Because it doesn't tell you much other than this guy is hurt and there's a chance he may or may not play.
And I know the fans want that. Yeah, I know the fans want that because they want to know before the game. But, you know, I still maintain that the vast majority of fans that really want to know the information want to put money on it. I mean, I realize there's a natural curiosity. Is Olu going to play today? Yeah, I understand the curiosity. We're kind of in a... That's one thing I don't think people realize. You're really up against a rock or a hard place when we're doing the pregame show on this stuff. All right. Do Jack and I know who's in and who's out? Yes. Have we known for a while who's in and who's out? Yes. I'm being honest with everybody here. Do we work with a coach that does not want that information out there? Yes. And as much as it's important to tell the fans what's going on. Now, there's a certain point where, you know, you can do it with us. And that point is when the teams come out and a guy is wearing a jersey and doesn't have any pads on, he's not playing in the game. So, yeah, we'll mention it then. No question. We'll mention it then. But that is the rock and the hard place. Do we know? Yes. Do we know because we get that the head football coach allows us to be there? Yes. Do we know because the head football coach talks to us about it personally? Yes. But we are there by his invitation. Okay? So we try to maintain that level of respect that is his rule, and it gives us background so we can do our job. But that's where we are. It's out of respect to him and what his rules happen to be that we try not to stray into that area, even though we know there's a natural curiosity to it. Meanwhile, Matt would just put it out there.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
And they would say, why did you put it out there? You know what the rules are. It's stupid! I could hear it now.
No, I would adhere to those rules. Strictly.
Again, just remember, we are allowed to go to practice because James Franklin and Mike Rhodes allow us to go to practice. So Dick and I can go to basketball practice anytime we want. We can go to football practice anytime we want. All right? But it is through the permission granted by the head football coach that we are allowed to do it and have unfettered access to it. That also means that we need to then follow the guidelines of the practice and the rules put forward by the head football coach or the head basketball coach. Now, might they start making college programs put out injury reports before games? Yeah, I mean, Ohio State puts out an injury report, but they do it the morning of the game. Michigan doesn't even put out a depth chart. Of course, Penn State now doesn't either. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. I'm trying to think, is there anybody else in the league that does not put out a depth chart? Let's see, Maryland does, Rutgers does. Yeah, Indiana does, Purdue does. I think those are the three. UCLA does, USC does. They're coming into the league. I mean, now, does each one put out what the starting lineups have been all season? Yes. And then you really have to sit down and take a look at, you know, how many games some people play, what position they play, so forth. You know, how many tackles do they have, which means they play a lot. So, I mean, you can get around it. You can do it. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's whatever they want to do. But yeah. All right. But yeah, that's, I know you want injury reports because you're nosy.
Yeah, I guess that's the journalist in me. Yeah. I want to know.
Oh, well, okay. About halfway through the first quarter, don't you know?
Well, of course, we'll know then. But it's just nice to know beforehand so you get an idea of what you're getting into heading into the game.
I feel like I'm working with Nick the Greek. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, so we've gone through what the revised gambling penalties are for the NCAA, and they're talking about dollar amounts, but I've talked to my classroom about this, and I said, look, you know, hey, anybody, it's your own personal business. I said, you don't want to participate, you know, you don't have to put your hand up. I said, but how many of you gamble? I usually get about two-thirds of the class that say they do, and then I'll ask, I said, okay, if you guys are willing to talk about it, how much do you put down? And you got some people in class that are putting down anywhere from 200 to 1,000.
Whoa.
Where are they getting that money? That's what strikes me. I don't have that part. I don't ask, but they'll tell me. I've heard numbers 200 to 1,000. Now a lot of it's on the NFL, but they'll put down between 200 and 1,000. I sit there and go, yeah, I'll put like 500-600 on a game like this. I sit back and go, okay. I actually make money. I wouldn't think in a million years of playing 200,000. I was like, I don't know.
I don't bet, period, that often. But even if I did, I would not be betting that much as a college kid. I didn't have that kind of money.
I mean, that's what's strange. I mean, I sit back and I'm like, I'm usually taken aback when I hear something like that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I thought they were going to say they bet like $50 to $100. Nope, these kids are betting 200 to 1,000. I'm like, oh, no. I wouldn't even think about the 200. I'd be struggling with 50. I can't. Because I've never gambled on anything ever, so it's not, you know. Yeah, obviously. I mean, have I ever bought a lottery ticket? Of course. But I'm the kind of guy that when he goes in and buys a lottery ticket, he buys one. Here's $2.
Those kids got a set of goyuns. Let me tell you. Jeesh.
No, it's interesting to talk to them about it. It's a part, yeah. And what strikes me is you feel like it's a part of their culture now. And I almost feel like in some ways, like all the fantasy sports, you know, when people get into the fantasy pools and things like that, it's almost like that's a start of the money on sports part in some ways. And I'm somebody who on the show, as you know, has given fantasy football in particular a lot of credit for the popularity of the NFL, because now you have people watching games longer to see if, you know, to see if it all pays off for them in some way. Like, okay. It's interesting.
Well, red zone's the big one.
Yeah, red zone's huge. But, and remember, when they say they're putting down 200 to 1,000, they're not just doing that one time. See, that's what strikes me. It's not like, oh, yeah, I did it one time, I bet 800. Like, No, these guys are putting down some money. I don't know if it's every week. But it's not just one week. And in the last couple of years of discussing this with them, because it then leads into my discussion about don't bet on games that you're covering from a professional point of view. That's what the lead-in is. That's why I bring it up. But in listening to this the last 2 years, I've been taken aback by what I've heard from them. And my first thought is, where do you get the money to do that? I mean, obviously, if you hit one, you've got at least some money to work with to play with the next time through. But what if you don't? This isn't like, you know, the NFL athlete, for example. Like, the minimum salary is six figures. So they're putting on, you know. But this is what these guys did. Three of them that were suspended indefinitely are not going to get NFL careers again. They're done. There will be no six-figure salary. I mean, they're done. Petit Frere, who got the suspension for six games from the league because he did not bet on the NFL, but evidently bet in or around the team facility or maybe on the road. All right. He's going to get six games, but he's not going to, you know, he's going to be starting for the Titans when he comes back. The other three who are suspended indefinitely, their careers in all likelihood are over. Was it worth putting the bet down? They probably lost, too.